pushers, the environmental thugs, the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody back to the show. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Dial that when you hear somebody hang up. We're talking about irrigation today, drip irrigation. I'm not a big fan, especially in certain situations. I was looking at my Facebook page, and I clicked on some of the people that were really negative about my comments, and lo and behold, it turned out that they're in the irrigation business. So I thought that might be the case, and I understand, you know, if you're in the business of selling the stuff, you're going to try to defend it, but in certain situations, is the only thing I'm saying. It's just a real problematic kind of thing. And if you want to talk about it, pro or con, we're getting both of those on the Facebook. People that have had trouble and people that where it's worked perfectly for them, and in situations where it works great, that's terrific. Just keep an eye out. It's a long-term management thing, like it is with any irrigation system, but I think that the drip can be something that can blindside you because you can't see what's going on down in the soil. And that's always been my biggest hang-up about it, is you really can't tell where the water is going. If you miss the first hour, my big hang-ups are using drip irrigation for turf and for ground cover beds, especially if they're on a slope, but I don't think it works in that situation at all. Roberto has been holding for a while in Plano, Texas. Hey, Roberto.
Hey, good morning, Howard. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Awesome. Well, hey, I've got a question that about my deck. I've got two options. We're selling the house soon, so I've got to either paint it or remove it. And if I remove it, is it too late in August to throw down sod?
No, you can plant sod hotter the better. You just need to be very careful to get it watered thoroughly when it goes down, or it'll really stress. But putting sod down in 100-degree weather is no problem at all, as long as you hydrate it really well.
Now, I know you have experience with building decks. When I remove it, I mean, what should I expect down there? I know I see a cloth, like some kind of weed blocker or something.
Okay. Well, when I build decks, I don't do that. And we just built a deck at our house a few months back, and there were some perennials that I had I did remove. I grubbed them out, but any kind of weeds or grass, we just cover up, and the shading kills them. So unless you've got something that's tough enough to be growing up and popping through the cracks, you're probably going to find a completely dead vegetative area under the deck.
And that's, with a little bit of gravel, but not too much. So I'm going to remove this weed block thing, which would be a lot of work, but then what should I do to amend it before I throw the sod over it?
Well, sod doesn't need a lot of amendment. If you get the plastic stuff out and scrape the gravel off, if you just till it or use some kind of a hand tool and rough up the surface, you can plant right away with the soil without even re-preparing it, and then put the organic fertilizer and a layer of compost on the surface of the sod after it's planted and watered in really well, and then water it in once again. But people will tell you not to water new sod, and with synthetic fertilizer, that may be a good bit of advice. I don't recommend synthetic fertilizer anyway, but with organic fertilizer, it can be put on right after you plant. If you do put a little bit of compost, rock minerals, and molasses in the soil first and till it in and then plant on top of it, don't do very much. Real light applications, maybe cut back the rate that we recommend by 2/3. But probably I wouldn't do it at all. I would just plant and then put the amendments on top.
And this is a 16 by 20 area, so I would probably need to roll it. Is that correct?
Well, if you roll it, the advantage is that you eliminate air pockets under the new sod, and that will eliminate those places where those air pockets are from drying and becoming a yellow spot. It doesn't really help anything much more than that. That's the main reason you do rolling, is to eliminate the air pockets.
Okay. So then if I decide to actually keep the deck and I decide to use that deck paint, is there any danger to that, to my organic lawn that's going to be all around this?
I would probably use a stain. In fact, we didn't stain our deck when we put it in because we were having a party for Logan and Bo at that time, and we didn't have time to do it. It hadn't dried out enough. We're going to go do it now, and I'm looking at different stains. I've seen the literature on a couple of different ones that sound really good, and I want to use a stain that really soaks into the wood very well rather than a paint that is out on the outside edge. So if you'll look at some of the recommended quality stains, that would be a better way to go.
Oh, so stain's not an option for me. I had already stained it a couple years ago, and it had a stain on it, and they were mismatched, and it looked really bad. So I tried to sand it all off to start over, and I just can't get the whole.
Okay, cosmetically, it just doesn't look good.
Well, right, so I have to paint over my mistakes if okay. I do that.
All right, well, just use a kind of a natural color paint, I guess, of some kind, and I'd use a latex paint. That'll be the least problematic if. You know, if it gets into the soil or whatever, and do what you have to do. I would try staining it a darker color. It probably, well, I'm not seeing it, so I'm just thinking out loud here. But if you look at a stain that's maybe a darker color than anything you've already done, maybe you can get a fairly uniform look with a stain. That'd be the other option.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the time. Love the show.
All right. Good luck with your project.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Let's go to Aledo, Texas, and talk to John. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Semper Fi, brother.
Semper Fi.
Hey, I heard a long time ago you talk about mustard algae in a pool.
Yeah.
And we had what we thought was dust and pollen, and then the pool guy goes, nope, that's mustard algae, and they're talking heavy metals and draining the pool and, you know, putting 20,000 gallons of salt water somewhere, and it'll kill everything, I know, and I don't want to do that. And I remembered you talking about this. What's the better way to do this?
Well, if you can find it, this is a frustrating point that you bring up, John. Hydrogen peroxide will flatten that, knock it out. It's wonderful how well it works.
Okay.
But you need to buy the concentrated hydrogen peroxide, the 35% stuff, and it's hard to find. We have not had any success at getting distributors and retailers to carry the 35%. If anybody's out there listening that, you know, knows better, call and let us know. But if you can find it, that's the way to go. And we've got the rates that we recommend on our website on dirtdoctor.com in the library. Just go to hydrogen peroxide. And we did a newsletter, and we covered all the recommended rates for using 3%. 10% and 35% hydrogen peroxide, and you pour it in just right out of the bottle, 35% into the swimming pool,
mm-hmm.
and it not only knocks it out, but ours hadn't come back. It looked like it was coming back. Our pool maintenance fellows thought that it was coming back, but we did a little bit more hydrogen peroxide and we've got a saltwater pool too. We've got the salt system working to produce the natural chlorine better, and it went away. So it was basically taken care of with the one strong application. Now, you can buy the 35% hydrogen peroxide mail order, but it's very expensive because of the shipping.
Right. At this point, I think I'd rather do that than some of the heavy metals and stuff that they're talking about, not being able to get in the pool for 3 to 4 days. You know, that can't be good.
What did they recommend other than bromide?
They were saying some kind of silver and copper heavy metal solution.
Yeah. Well, we actually had a system at one point. I've tried every system in the world. We had a copper silver electrode system at one time, and it puts a very small amount of that stuff in there. But I agree with you. That's not near as good. Hydrogen peroxide, you know, turns into water and air. You know, you can swim in it right after you've done the application. So bromide has been recommended to me. I've never tried it, but you might ask about that if you can't get the hydrogen peroxide for a reasonable price.
All right. Okay. Well, appreciate it. Thanks, Howard.
Thanks for calling. Good luck with the project.
All right. Thanks.
I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Whatever's on your mind, give us a buzz. 866-444-3478. I'll be back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
While summer is the absolute best time for swimming, cookouts, and much-anticipated vacations, it's the worst time to endure the pain and embarrassment of unexpected gas and bloating. Bloating often isn't even triggered by how much food you eat, but rather what you eat. Some foods are difficult for your body to break down, and those undigested particles pass into the colon and produce uncomfortable gas bubbles that can make your stomach swell and bloat, and can even lead to weight gain. Enter your summertime savior, Dr. O'Hara's award-winning probiotics. This probiotic powerhouse helps by efficiently breaking down food that is challenging to digest. As a result, the undigested food occupies less space, so gas and bloating are significantly minimized. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available in convenient blister packs, perfect for traveling. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this summer. Look for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The Sick Tree Treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products, and one of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you, and we're going to go to Hazlet, Texas, and talk to Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hey, morning, Howard.
What's up?
Well, I got a, this is the first time this one's happened to me. I was putting down, I've often used Nature's Guide 922. Poultry-based fertilizer, and I recently, this was 2 weeks ago, I bought some, and as I was kind of, you know, putting it down and working with it, I noticed that the smell was a little bit stronger, quite a bit stronger than normal, to where, I know anytime you use a poultry based fertilizer, there's a little odor that goes with it, but there was an excessive amount of feathers in it.
Really?
I went ahead and, I went ahead and put it down. I did the whole application or almost through it, and then I was filling up my spreader to complete it, and I spilled some into an area in my front yard, and, where I spilled it, it obviously was thicker than in the other area.
Right.
I kind of raked it out a little bit, but how did it actually kill the grass there where it spilled? And I'm wondering is it possible that it wasn't the fertilizer wasn't fully prepared or composted? I've just never seen that happen before, with the smell and all that stuff. And
well, it's a possibility. Anybody can make a mistake, and it sounds like it wasn't made very well. I'm a little confused about one thing, though. 922, I thought, was a product that was a corn gluten meal product. Is it not?
No, it's not the corn gluten, Howard.
It's a poultry fertilizer. Okay,
yes.
I'll bet you if you look at the label on that one may have that may be what's called a bridge product and have some urea in it. If it does, I'm not positive on that, but if it does, and you spilled it all in one place, that would explain the burning. The fact that there's feathers and it has more odor and all that would be a quality control concern. I don't know. I haven't heard about this from anybody else. I'll certainly check into it this week. Why don't you send us an email, send it to info@dirtdoctor.com, and we'll try to help out with this situation however we can.
Sounds good. I'll detail, all the things you might need to know to look into it.
Yeah, there has been some change in ownership, as you probably know, with all that, and maybe that's part of the deal. But one way or another, we'll get to the bottom of it.
Okay. Appreciate
all right.
It.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's see what Robin's up to in Philadelphia. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I ordered Garrett juice. The shipping equaled the cost of the product.
Yeah, that's one of the problems on liquid stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've had fabulous results with my Perilous crepe myrtle. Two crepe myrtles in my area.
Well, great.
Died, and so this one held on. I, you know, pulled the soil away as you recommended, fed it, and it looks fabulous.
Are there a lot of crepe myrtles in Philadelphia?
Well, more than you'd think.
Yeah, because it seems like it'd be too cold
for most of them. I've taken good care of the one I inherited, and it's, you know, blessed me with beautiful white flowers kind of coming over my terrace.
That's great.
And the one next door died, and the one down the way died, and they just chainsawed it to the ground, you know, which was just sad. But every tree around here has been planted too deep.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't know any better.
It's the case across the country.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to learn, you know, even baby steps. However, I did feed my hydrangea. Mm-hmm. And when I moved here 2 years ago, there were flowers. I haven't seen one since. I never got a flower. I got vigorous, beautiful, big shrubbery. No flower.
Well, hydrangea are kind of in the same category as crepe myrtle. They can freeze, and the freeze damage could cause you to not have any flowers. Obviously, in Dallas here, we're warmer than you. We have flowers on hydrangeas early in the season, and then now they're gone, and they don't flower. You know, the bracts turn kind of a brown color.
Right.
And some people leave them on the plants, and some people cut them away. But freeze damage could be one of the things.
Well, everybody around me had beautiful, beautiful big blooms, and I was like, what's the matter with mine? So I know it's past now.
When did you prune them?
I never pruned them.
Okay. Well, the only other explanation is they're hungry and you're using organic techniques, so that's probably not the case. And the only other one would be some freeze damage, nip the buds.
Just happened to get them.
Yeah.
Well, so it's past the time I can resurrect. I'll just, you know earlier to do better. But
how hot is it there now?
Lovey, it's we call it warm. In Texas, it's 87.
Yeah, that's very mild. Well, you could still have some flowers in that kind of weather, but if you haven't seen any sign of them, you're probably going to have to work on next year's bloom crop.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
My peonies, however, I have always had fabulous luck with peonies in Virginia and in Maine, and here, one or two flowers instead of 20, and now it's like a mildew, a film over all the leaves. What can I do next year to prevent that?
Well, drenching with the Garrett juice is really going to help you set buds and have more flowers in general. The fungal disease, which you're talking about there, can be sprayed with several different things. The organic fungal controls are many. One is baking soda, rounded tablespoon in a gallon of water, potassium bicarbonate, rounded tablespoon in a gallon of water, soaking a cup of cornmeal in 5 gallons of water and then spraying cornmeal juice will do it. All of those organic fungus controls will work. Let me put you on hold. If you had something else, got to run for a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back with you right after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, 866-444-3478. Here's Neil in Fort Worth. Hey, Neil.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. What's up?
I've got a strange question for you. Since you're a bird guy, I was out at my farm this past week for a few days, and where the house is located, it's on a creek, and that's the last place that I ever saw a covey of quail before they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And this is down in Freestone County, close to Navarro. And there's a restoration project. I don't know if you know anything about it, but there's a co-op between some landowners and the state to restock quail. It's a band of several thousand acres. And
oh, great.
We're kind of close to that area.
Yeah.
So anyway, Friday morning I was out on the deck early having coffee and saw a bird flutter into the tree close to the deck and didn't think anything about it. And then a minute later, I heard a bobwhite call. And I got real excited. And I kind of eased over that direction a little bit to see if I could see anything, and it was a mockingbird.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But so my question is, I wonder if you know, or maybe any of your listeners know, like how far does a mockingbird range, and how long do they retain something that that they picked up from another bird? Because obviously he didn't just make that up.
That's a great question. I don't know, but we do have a lot of bird experts that are in the audience, and a lot of people that work with birds a lot. So getting that question out there, maybe we'll get something even during the show. I'll make a note of it too. But I have no idea, Neil. That's a really interesting question.
Okay. Well, I'm real hopeful that they'll come back, and I'm doing everything I can to try to improve the habitat.
No, that's great. They I guess that some of the same things that have hurt the horny toads and things like that have hurt the quail, fire ants and pesticides and various kinds of things, and hopefully they are making a comeback.
Yeah. Now, I have another thing I wanted to tell you about. We talked a couple of years ago after I redid my front with decomposed granite and expanded shale over a base of recycled concrete, and I had cedar elm seedlings coming up.
Uh-huh.
And you put me on to the torch, which I used, and it was pretty effective. But, of course, then this past spring, they came back again everywhere, except in about half of the front yard where I mulch it real heavily with pine straw.
Pine straw. Interesting.
Yep. Huh. They started. I've got a good free source of it, so it's my favorite mulch to use.
Yeah.
And plus, and you can, I'm sure, answer this. Doesn't it seem like it would probably add some acid to the alkaline soil that we've got here?
Well, probably so. It probably does have a chemistry that's on the acid side. The interesting thing about, you're talking about pine needles, right?
Right.
The interesting thing about pine needles is that even through personal experience, I've found that pine needles make a wonderful mulch to use around vegetable crops and herbs and landscape plants, and
yep,
are far superior to pine bark, which tends to have this natural chemistry that's bad for plant growth. How they would be keeping the little tree seedlings from coming back, I have no idea, though.
Well, I'll tell you, and I may have been misleading a little bit. I did have some come up into it, and then they went away.
Boy, that is really interesting. You know, you think about a pine forest and the floor of the forest, you don't see a whole lot else growing under the pine trees like
That's
you
right.
do in other hardwoods and things like that. Even though the chemistry of the pine needles looks like it's good for vegetables and things we're trying to grow, it may not be good for other competitive woody plants. That may be something very interesting you stumbled onto.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm a big fan of it, A, because I've got a free source of it, and B, because I think it does a fantastic job.
Yeah, it's good in several ways. Well, keep us posted on that, some photographs and whatever. We'll keep an eye out here, too.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it. That's good stuff. By the way, speaking of birds, we've got an interesting thing going on in our garden. We had some kind of a raptor, and I ought to know, it looks to me more like a falcon than a Harris's hawk or something like that. But we've had two appearances in our gardens. One of them was in a bird bath. I was looking out the breakfast room door, and this raptor was sitting. He was in the bird bath. He was down in the water and just getting a drink, but he had actually waded out in it. And then yesterday, the same raptor, or appeared to be the same, was at a bird feeder on the other side of the house. Now, what he might have been after, or she, could have been the mice and rats that were under the bird feeder, trying to get the seed that had been kicked out, because Tater was awfully interested in what was going on in the ground cover area beneath the feeder. But anyway, I was going to look up what that might be. It had a smooth head, very, very long tail, and very thin, probably no bigger than a little bit bigger than a blue jay, so a pretty small raptor, not that as small as a blue jay, bigger, but more that size than, you know, great big size like a red-tailed hawk or something like that. Anybody knows offhand what that might be, let me know. Patty in Corsicana next up. Hey, Patty.
Hey, I spoke with you last week about a spider problem I have on all my shrubs and everything. And you told me to spray with soapy water. And I did that, it didn't make any difference. It didn't help any. And I just wondered now you might know a little bit more about it, because you said that you had heard one other case where it might have been the same thing.
Well, I know all you need to know about it. If it is spiders, it's a cosmetic deal, and the spray of the soap wouldn't make the spider webs go away. They'd still be there.
The spiders are still in the webs.
Little bitty spiders inside there?
Well, they're different sizes, but they all look alike. They're all sort of a goldy color with sort of a reddish head. Maybe the three-fourths of their body are sort of the back part is sort of a goldy color. And
okay. And this is on
red.
This is on what kind of trees?
It's on crepe myrtles, and it's on the oak trees. It's on all my house plants. I mean, not house plants, but my plants on the deck. I have got one a bougainvillea that's all the yellow leaves now have turned yellow, and it's stopping them, and it's just a mess.
Hmm. Well, it's cosmetic. It's the spiders aren't doing any harm. They're eating insects and not plants, so they're not hurting your plants other than the cosmetic side of it. I guess the webs are dense enough to keep the soapy water from penetrating and doing the damage. Which soap did you use?
I just used a dish soap that I had.
Okay. You might try it again with Lemon Joy. Lemon Joy with the citrus in there is more powerful. The next step would be go to spinosad or something more powerful like that, and it'll definitely kill them if you have to kill them if they're creating that big of a cosmetic problem.
Well, of course, this plant looks like it's dying. This afternoon, I'm going to cut it all back and see if I can get it come back again.
So, okay. Do you have a digital camera? Do you have a phone that takes good pictures? Take some pictures of it and send it to us. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com, and let me see if I see anything else. But this is widespread on various kinds of plants in your garden.
Yes, everything. It's all over the neighborhood. It's on lake property.
The other project that I may have mentioned when you called about it was a golf course that I'm consulting on, and they had it in the Cedar Elms there. Well, there were no spiders left. They were gone. They were all dead and gone. So the only thing left were the webs. So it's a little bit different situation in your case with the spider staying there and staying alive. The fact that it's different species, or looks like it's different species, is also a head scratcher. That may be the different stages of the spiders, what you're seeing.
Yeah, so some of them look like babies, and some of them look like adults. Adults have a different shape, but they're the same color.
Okay. Well, if you want to try again, the Lemon Joy is more powerful. Use a tablespoon per gallon of water. And if you want to go to the next step, one of the essential oil products like the Eco Smart. But if you want to use the strongest of the organic tools to kill, if you have to do it, the spinosad products would be the next choice.
I'll try the next step then and see what happens.
Okay, send us some pictures. I'd really like to see what you're dealing with more clearly.
Okay, and you don't think that the hydrogen peroxide would make any difference?
But hydrogen peroxide might. It's hydrogen peroxide will kill plants at strong levels at 10%. The 3% sprayed might do some good, but I kind of doubt it. It would work better than the soap. You can try it if you want to. And
Anything.
Yeah, give us a report.
Okay, all right.
Thanks, Patty.
Taking the call. Bye.
Bye-bye. It's Becky's turn. Hyco, Texas. Hey, Becky.
Hi there. I have a question for you. We bought 46 acres last August, built a cabin on it. We're from Austin, had no idea what greenbrier was.
Okay.
We bought 46 acres of greenbrier.
All right.
And so it's crawling up our porch, crawling up the cabin. Anyway, we have some beautiful old trees. They're all full of it. How do you kill greenbrier?
Well, cut it down first. Cut all the stems so it dies, and try to pull the vines out just from a cosmetic standpoint, and watch the thorns. But what you have to do is you have to kill the big tubers that are underground. That plant has a real thick woody tuber underground that'll range in size from being a small gourd up to a watermelon size. Some are very, yes, very large.
We've seen it when they dug the septic tank. They go way down deep. How do you do that? How do you kill them? How do you pull them up?
Well,
we have a tractor now. We bought a tractor and we're shredding. But it comes right back up.
Just try to rip them out of the ground and chop them up and put them in the compost pile. They're loaded with nutrients. To kill them, it's tough, even with a toxic chemical herbicide. So physical removal, you know, just do it a little bit at a time and get them out of the ground. That kills them. You've got to get that tuber out of the ground, though. There's nothing you can put on there. We were thinking that maybe a lot of sugar or a lot of hydrogen peroxide would work, and we've told some people to try it, and I've never gotten any feedback from anybody about whether it worked or not. But the bottom line, I'll put you on hold if you had something else, but the bottom line is you've got to physically remove those big tubers from the soil, or greenbrier will continue to come back. If you keep cutting it back and cutting it back and cutting it back, that'll help long term, but it takes a long time to work. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
Don't let biting, disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite, and they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummerResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
You can have a beautiful landscape and be kind to the environment. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulture expert. For great results, whether vegetables, lawns, trees, shrubs, or flowers, I recommend Milorganite Organic Nitrogen Fertilizer. Its slow-release, goof-proof formula provides consistent feeding and is safe for children and pets. So whether you're a seasoned or novice gardener, trust the fertilizer that's been proven effective for over 85 years. Use Milorganite for all your lawn and garden needs, anywhere you want good things to grow. Milorganite for better results naturally.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner. Or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty. I had to hang up the line over there. Still on, and I was talking to Becky off the air. That Smilex, that's what the plant is, the greenbrier we were talking about, more off the air. And she was just worried too much acreage to do what I recommended, dig those tubers out of the ground. The other thing for people, and it's not just for that weed vine, but any kind of a weed that is tough to get rid of, physical removal is the best way to go. Roundup will not kill them, and it contaminates the land, and other herbicides, you know, can be as bad or worse. But digging up the biggest ones where the stems come out of the ground, that's where the largest tubers will be. Dig them up, like I said, chop them up and put them in the compost pile. They're beneficial in that way. And then the smaller ones, cut them down, and as they start to regrow, mow them or flame them out or somehow kill the small ones from growing. That way the plants are using up that stored energy in the underground system and will eventually die out. It takes a while to do it, but it works. It's in Georgia's Charles' turn. Hey, Charles.
Hey, calling from Stone Mountain, Georgia, and I'm listening on WCPT from Chicago on the internet.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I was listening to the lady earlier about the crepe myrtles and the hydrangeas.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my neighborhood here, we have hundreds of crepe myrtles, and they're thriving right about now.
Uh-huh.
I think they might have came here during the Olympics as a present from Australia or something. But the question I was asking about was, I have a camilla I planted about 2 or 3 years ago for my neighbor. She's about two houses down. And hers are just absolutely thriving. Matter of fact, she paid me a year or two ago to trim them. And they're probably about 6 feet high and about maybe 9 or 10 feet in diameter.
Okay.
And they bloom every, January, which is, beautiful flowers, red flowers. Now, the one she gave me, I planted by a door, and basically I'm having a hard time getting it to basically thrive. The first year or two, it did grow a little bit, and it did bloom about two or three flowers, like I said, in January, February, when it blooms down here. Since then, every time it grows to like a few branches, and then these leaves get brown spots on them, and some of them turn yellow. And so I thought it was that my mold or something, that brown, that powder rust where the flowers get. So I bought some organic fertilizer, and I bought some of that powder you put on it, and it grows a little bit more. Then it does the same thing. Lately, I've been watering it with rainwater, and I actually use urine. I put urine in it, and it's starting to grow a little bit, but I'm still having trouble getting it to thrive.
Well, Charles, camellias are a little bit harder to grow. They like really, really good bed preparation, and even though you have better soil in Georgia, most of Georgia, and I think where you are, than we have in Dallas, Texas, the good bed preparation with lots of compost, with rock minerals added, and with sugar like dry molasses or cornmeal added to the soil, especially in your case when you're having fungal issues, will help dramatically. The other thing you want to do is look at our website and get the formula for Garrett juice and drench that soil area around your camellia with the Garrett juice, and also spray it on the foliage. And I think you'll see it come around and bloom for you beautifully, especially in your soil there.
Do they like where I have it, it's facing, you get southeast, which you get really good sun in the morning.
That's great. That's
hot
perfect.
Around here.
That's perfect.
Okay. So it lacks a lot of sun. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
The lady's house two doors down, hers is like, we have trees. Things just thrive in this neighborhood. I'm Atlanta suburb. Mm-hmm. In the northern, central, northwestern Georgia.
Right.
And this area, it's the place, things that grow here. I mean, and I'm just wondering, so you say it's not the sun, so it's not getting too much sun.
No, morning sun is the best. You just need to feed it a little bit more. The Garrett juice, along with your dry organic fertilizer that you got, will be fine. Mix some of the amendments in the soil. Look at our bed preparation instructions on dirtdoctor.com and add some of those things. Even though the plant's in the ground, you can add them to the surface and gently work them in, and then do foliar feeding and drench the soil. And your camellia is the one you have, does it have red flowers? Is it adding flowers at all?
You said like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, yes, it's red flowers.
Okay, it's probably the japonica, and it will do fine there. Just give it a little bit more tender, loving care with these techniques I'm recommending. I think you'll be fine.
Okay, one more thing. Like, for instance, like, we have septic tanks in the backyard,
mm-hmm.
and anything over that grows in that septic field just grows. Like, you can see grass. I have to cut it twice a week or maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
Hers is like in that septic field area. Could that have something to do with it?
Yeah, that just feeds it a little bit better. Sometimes that's too much water and too much other things in the water, but it sounds like in that case it's working well. You may be needing to water just a little bit more too, Charles. Give your plant just a little more tender, loving care, and I think that'll take care of it. Some of those organic techniques that you're using are fine, but you just add a few more to it. Liquid Garrett juice is really important for setting buds and having blooms on plants, and you can make it yourself. The formula's there for you in all my books and on dirtdoctor.com in the library, and also under guides on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. You can buy the commercial products as well, but if you don't mind making your own stuff at home, you can certainly do it. Well, I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We'll be back for another hour for a lot of people. You can listen online on dirtdoctor.com. If that's not the case, our newsletter's free. Just sign up by filling out the form on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Enjoyed being with you for this hour. We'll be back after this break, so don't go away. Any questions are fine.